Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Shvuos Daf Dalet. To begin, 11 lines off the top of the Amud, B'mayu Kimta, Rabbi Shmuel Ulamalkus. This refers back to the beginning of the Mishnah. There are four cases of Shvuah violations, one who violates his oath, which generate liability. We figure the Mishnah is speaking about b'shogeg, when it was done unintentionally, and it generates a korban oilav yoyir, as we discussed back in the Mishnah. And likewise, the Mishnah speaks about four examples of yediyos hatuma liabilities, when one interacts with either a korban or enters the Beis Hamikdash, right? If he eats the korban or enters the Mikdash, when he is tamei, not realizing that he's tamei, or not realizing that this item has significance. In all four cases, he brings a korban oil of yerid. And the question on that was, well, according to Rabbi Yishmael, there are no four. There are no four possible shvuah violations which trigger a korban. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation of the psukim, lehara, lehetiv, I promise to do something positive, I promise to withhold from something. It's all future tense. So there are only two possible applications. I will not, right? I will eat, I will not eat. All relates to the future. But if it relates to a past event, I had breakfast, I did not have breakfast, there's no chiv. And the Mishnah speaks about four possibilities. Two going forward and two relating to back. Next question was, well, how could we have four examples of yediyos hatuma, forgetfulnesses regarding tuma? According to Rabbi Akiva, there are only two possible circumstances. He was tummy, he forgot that he was tummy, and he ate a korban. Or he went into the Mikdash. It's limited to those two examples, because if he knew that he was tummy, but he was unmindful regarding the item involved, regarding the fact that this is a korban that he's eating, the fact that this is the Beis HaMikdash, you know, he's standing right outside, he didn't realize that he's, you know, actually stepping in, so on and so forth. There's no chiyuv korban. And the Mishnah speaks about four applications, not just two. So that was the question we posed yesterday. The solution provided was, well, perhaps the Mishnah is following Rabbi Shmuel Shita. So regarding Yediyos HaTuma, all four cases would trigger a korban. Regarding the question of Malkus, well, the Mishnah is not speaking about when it was done b'shogeg, rather it was done b'mezid, knowingly, intentionally. He was warned ahead of time and he gets Malkus. And even Rabbi Shmuel agrees, whether it's a shvuah going forward or a shvuah regarding a past event, in this case, Malkus would apply. Says the Gemara, okay, but Mayu Kimta Krabi Shmuel Ulu Malkus. So you have identified the opinion reflected in the Mishnah. It relates to Rabbi Kiva. And we're speaking strictly about Malkus liabilities. And we presume that all four examples, whether it's Shvois, Shtayim Shem Arba, whether it's Yediyos HaTuma, Shtayim Shem Arba, whether it's Maris Negoim, regarding Negoim, four different types, regarding carrying on Shabbos, four different types. They're all under this, covered under this banner of Malkus, right? So Maris Negoim, my Malkus Ika, what do you have Malkus applied to a nega? A fellow who has a nega, he's tummy, he doesn't get Malkus. The answer is Bekoitis Bahartoi. We do. If he removes the Baharis, if he cuts off, he scrapes off the nega. So whether he does it on the nega called Seis or Baharis, so on and so forth, there are four possible negaim that he can have cut off, which trigger Malkus. And that's what the Mishnah means. Four manifestations of Malkus by Shvuah, violations, four by Negaim, four by Yediyos HaTuma, and four regarding Shabbos. Ukarab Abin, Amar Belov, Damar Rabban Rulo. The pasuk by Nega says, Hishomer b'nega atzeras. Take care. Watch yourself. What does that mean? Refrain from removing the Nega. Because kol makom shenemar hishomer. Whenever the word hishomer is found in the Torah, or pen, or al, right? Hishomer pen v'al, einoy el alois ha'aseh, it's meant to warn against doing something. Hishomer b'nega atzeras, don't cut it off. So we have four possible applications, four different types of negoim, which will generate malchus upon removal. What about yitzias Shabbos, carrying out on Shabbos? We know that a malacha done on Shabbos, if it's bemezid, there is skila. B'shoigig, there's a carbon chatas. When do you ever have malchus? So again, how does it fit with the sequence of the Mishnah? Yitzias Shabbos, my malchus ikah. Although there's a warning, a lav in the Torah, but it's a lav which was already earmarked, it was designated to warn against doing something that can generate death penalty by the Bezdin. And it can't be, that law cannot now be reapplied to trigger Malchus. It's already been, you know, used up, so to speak. Lav Shanitan, Las Horas Misas Bezdin. And we know, B'chol Lav, any law, Shanitan, which was designated, Las Horas, to warn against an activity that generates a Misas Bezdin, ain't like an olive. You can't apply Malchus on account of that law. Answers the Gemara, actually, we're going like Rabbi Shmuel, right? He holds that you can. That's exactly why we connected the mission to Rabbi Shmuel. Because he holds, we had this in Maseches Makos, based on the pasuk there, the Amar Lav Shenitan Lav Shoras Mises Bezin Loikin Olav, he holds that you could have Malchus on Asharas Mises Bezin. Actually, the Gemara did not bring a pasuk, but that was the conclusion that, in fact, you couldn't share the lav. So, yeah, so even Yitzias HaShabbos can theoretically generate Malchus. Suppose the witnesses had warned him ahead of time, don't do this, but instead of warning him for Misa liabilities, they warned him that he's going to get Malchus. Not the proper warning, but, all right, they should have... But if that's what they did, then he'll just get Malchus. So that's the Gemara. Okay, that works. But I just want to sort of take issue with the usage of words, with the way you just expressed yourself. That's why it works with Rabbi Shmuel, because of this reason. Halav hachi. But otherwise, if not for this factor, putting this factor aside, the issue of reapplying the lav to from Misa to Malchus, halav hachi kaimak Rabbi Kiva. It sounds from what you're saying that the Mishnah can still work with Rabbi Akiva's Shita, if not for this issue. Well, it can't. Because that would trigger another issue. Kashya Yediyos. As we mentioned before, and we discussed yesterday in great length, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no liability regarding Yediyos HaTumah for four cases. It's limited to two cases. He was unaware of his tumah status, and he proceeded to eat kodesh or walk into the mikdash. That's all. It's limited to that. And it's based on a pasuk we'll see later. Benela mimenu butame. He was unaware of the fact that he himself was tummy. That's it. But if he were to be cognizant of his own status, but just be unmindful regarding the fact that this is a carbon, and then he eats it, or this is the mikdash and then enters, there's no liability. And the Mishnah speaks about four cases. That's inconsistent with Rabbi Akiva. Well, says the Gemara, no, we can get around that problem. Lav Amris Rabbi Shmuel Hi Ulamalkas, just like you solved the Shavua issue. How do we get four? According to Rabbi Shmuel, the answer was it's not carbon liability, it's Malkas liability. And that covers all four cases, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. The same exact solution can be applied here regarding how we get four liabilities by Yediyos HaTumah according to Rabbi Akiva. You're right. Carbon is limited to two cases. Rabbi Akiva nami l'malchus. It could work even according to Rabbi Akiva, but we're not speaking about carbon. And even Rabbi Akiva agrees that malchus would be applied in all four circumstances of Yediyos HaTumah, which are either he forgot that he was tummy and he ate carbon or entered the mikdash, that's two, or realizing that he's tummy but not realizing that this is kodesh or this is mikdash, and he entered and he ate, when done intentionally, with warning, he gets malchus. So again, the Mishnah is speaking about malchus circumstances, four by shvua, four by yedias hatuma, etc., etc. Yachi. Now we have three kashas. How can we even consider it? The Mishnah is speaking about bemezid and for malchus. Yachi yedias. The Mishnah calls it yedias hatuma, which means he had awareness at some point, and it just, you know, slipped his mind. Actually, he's fully aware. Hasrois bin boile. Instead, the Mishnah should call it Hasrois. He was warned. It was intentional. It was purposeful. Holy kasha, that could be answered like this. Tani, let's just revise our interpretation. Let's learn it like it says, Yedios dasrois. He knew because he was warned. The Hasrois confirmed that in fact he was aware. So he knew and he was warned and he was still mindful. He didn't forget. And that generates malchus. Okay, but the next question is, Yachi shtayim shein arba? If, in fact, he was warned ahead of time, your tummy don't eat the carbon, or your tummy don't enter the migdash. That's it. We only have two possibilities. Two cases that can trigger malchus. Yachi shtayim shein arba, Mishnah presents it as two which turn into four. That's only feasible if it was b'shegig, as we explained, four possible violations when done inadvertently. I forgot this, I forgot that, but if it was done intentionally, tartiu dehavyan, it's limited to two cases. Either he intentionally ate the carbon betumah or the migdash. How do we get to four? Next question, Vesu. Furthermore, Esyeshbo Yidia Batchilo Vidia Basoif Velmentine. Mishnah speaks about a possible case of Yidia Satuma. He knew initially that he became Tummy. Vidia Basoif, he knew later on. He recalled that he was Tummy. Velmentine, in between, when he had the experience with the carbon, etc., it slipped his mind. Well, we're speaking about intentional violations. Halama Lamalkas Mavite. What are we talking about? Slipping of minds and forgetfulness. We're speaking about malchus, that he was doing it intentionally. So the next question, the Mishnah speaks about him bringing a carbon. A carbon is only b'shoigeg. We're talking about b'mezid for malchus. So that puts aside this whole theory. Rather than speaking about b'mezid for malchus liabilities, we'll go back to the initial thought that we're speaking about unintentional violations which trigger carbonis. So back to the dilemma that we're facing. How could we have four possibilities of carbon by shvua? That doesn't work according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says there are only two possible circumstances regarding future, not regarding back events. On the flip side, how can we speak about four cases of yedias hatumah, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, it's limited to two? Elam Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you. Rabbi, the author of the Mishnah, of course, is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Danasi. And he picked and chose. V'nasev la'aliba de Tanoi. He authored the Mishnah in line with two different shitas. You're right, there is no one single opinion that holds both concepts, but he sort of paired together two different shitas. B'idiyas regarding Yidiyas HaTumah. Nasev la'ak Rabbi Shmuel. He followed Rabbi Shmuel's shita. Apparently that was the consensus, you know, in the yeshiva, to follow his opinion, resulting in four cases there. On the other hand, b'shvois, regarding the aloch of shvois, nasalak Rabbi Kiva, he followed Rabbi Kiva's shita, and he recorded his opinion in the Mishnah, which gave us a total of four violations. But it wasn't his personal opinion, Rebbe, necessarily, it wasn't his personal opinion, he was just sort of quoting two different opinions and paired it together. Amar Rav Ashi, I presented this theory, this Rabbi Yosef's solution to Rav Kahana. Varmalin, he told me he corrected just one thing. You don't have to say that he was just quoting others' opinion, which he didn't concur with. You don't have to say Rebbe just, you know, recorded the two varying opinions. But it wasn't really on his track. He wasn't really connecting to it. No, Ela Rebbe Taimed and Avshem Mefarish. Actually, I want to take it a step further. You should know Rebbe himself adopts those opinions as his personal. He agrees with it. How do I know the sign? You have a Bryce. So in this price we're going to show that in fact Rebbe holds that there are four possible cases of Yediyas HaTumah. That's his own personal opinion. In contrast to Rebbe Kiv, who holds that it's limited to two. Rebbe will hold that whether he forgot that he's Tamei and he ate the Kaddish or went to the Mikdash, or whether he forgot that the Mikdash was here or the Kaddish was this. All four cases are liable. So first bring Rebbe Kiva's Shita, that's limited to just two cases. And then Rebbe Shita, who expands that to four. How do we know that the Chiv of Korban Oil V'Yared is only in a case where he knew, forgot, and then recalled? You look at the Pasuk describing the event of Yediyas HaTumah. V'Nelam, it slipped his mind. V'Nelam. Again, the Pasuk mentions the same Lashon, Shnei Pam twice. So that teaches us the sequence of events. Because right after it says, V'hu Yada, and he knew, he was aware. And the way Rashi explains it, we sort of shift the words V'hu Yada to before the second V'Nelam to indicate that he knew and then he forgot. Okay, so that's how it works. He was aware at some point that he was Tamei. It slipped his mind. He engaged with the Mikdash, and then he recalled. And the first Venelam, explains Rashi, is to indicate to us that the Ha'alam, the forgetfulness, is limited to the fact that he was Tamei. He forgot that he was Tamei. He forgot about his personal status. In fact, it says, Venelam imenu v'hu Tamei. Right? To tell you that the halama pertained to the fact that he was tamei. So again, tamlem v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'amim the Rebbe Kiva, hence Rebbe Kiva's source, that it's limited to only a case where he forgot about his personal tumah status and he proceeded with the mikdash or the kodesh. So just two cases. Rabbi Oimer in a tzarech, you don't have to go that way. Rabbi Oimer v'nelam mechlal de yada v'hu yada. Rashi explains it. We don't have to shift the Vuyada to leapfrog it before the Venelam. Rather, he learns simply that Venelam, when you forget, evidently you knew. You can't forget something unless you first knew about it, right? Venelam mechlal yada. If he forgot, he must have known. So he knew and then he forgot. While he engaged with the Migdash, Vuyada, and then he recalled. You have the initial awareness and then the recollection. You came out of Lema Vanelam Vanelam. So, what's the point of repeating Vanelam? According to Rebbe, it's not to limit to two cases, actually, to expand it. Lachayev al Helam Tuma al Helam Migdash. That whether he forgot that he was Tami and he proceeded, or whether he forgot that this is a Migdash. He knew that he was Tami, but he didn't realize this was. Either way, he's chayiv. So clearly, Rebbe's own personal opinion is that Yediyas HaTumah liabilities expand and extend to all four cases, in line with the number four in our Mishnah presented by Rebbe. Okay, that addresses Ashkhan B'Yediyas. That addresses the four cases of Yediyas HaTumah. This Litam Nafshe, we've just proven that this is in fact Rebbe's personal opinion. What about the four cases of Shvur liabilities? Shvois, the Islay, Tamidin of Sheminolan. How do we know? Where do we find that Rebbe himself concurred with the number four to be the appropriate number of Shvua violations which generate carbon? Well, says the Gemara, Menolan, right? Svaru. It's obvious. It's common sense. Why? You see, Rebbe Akiva, we skipped the brackets. Rebbe Akiva, my Taimaka Machayev Lishavar. Just as Rebbe Akiva expands the, you know, the scope of Shvu liabilities to expand to include oaths regarding past events that did or didn't happen. Why is that? Where's that coming from? What's that sourced in? The Dorosh Ribuya Miyute. It's based on the Ribuya Miyute system. Rabbi Nami Dorosh Ribuya Miyute. Rabbi as well follows that system. Hence, arrives at the same conclusion. For a total of four possible Shvu violations. Rashi explains this in great detail. He explains like this. We know there are 13 Yud Gimel Midos, Shatur and Dreshes Ben, 13 modes of interpreting the Torah, 13 methods and formulas, right? Kal Vachomer, Gzeirah Shavah, one of which is called Klal Prato Klal. Some say it corresponds to the 13 attributes of mercy. Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachman, we say Atachnon, right? There were two different tracks, two different schools of thought, so to speak, amongst the Chachamim. Is it Klal Prato Klal, which means generalization, specific and generalization? Is that the system? Or is it Ribui Miut Viribui? Very similar, but slightly different, with slightly different results in terms of the net total of derivations that we'll come up with. So let's just apply it, you know, practically. Let's see how they both play out, so to speak. In the Psukim of Shvuah violations, we have a general lashon. And before we begin, Rashi explains, when following the Klal Prato Klal system, we end up with much less at the end. We end up including much less, because Klal means generalization, and Prat means specification, which basically explains the Klal. Klal is a general reference to the concept, and then we come on and explain. We come back and explain it. It's specific to this or that. So it limits it, it narrows it very much. It's specific to this thing or this item or this case. And then we come back and we add another klal at the end. The Torah speaks again about generalization. So it doesn't bring it back to, you know, to first base. It expands it a bit. It includes just another item that wouldn't have been there otherwise. So at the end of the day, you're still very limited. Not as limited as having just stayed at the parat. But nevertheless, you're just allowed to expand it a drop because of the last klal. Whereas if you go ribui, miut v'ribui, you end up with a much greater net total, because ribui means include everything. Miut says, you know what, leave something out. So ribui is like inclusionary. Miut is exclusionary. Leave something out. And comes back, the ribui at the end, and says, well, guess what? Don't even exclude as much as you had in mind. Exclude even less than that. That leaves you with pretty much everything intact, except for one thing, which is sort of totally off track, totally, you know, incomparable with the, inconsistent with the, you know, with the miut. Okay, so in practical terms, let's just get that down to a practical case. Pasuk says, a person makes a shvuah. Nevesh kisi shava. So, if you work with a klal prato klal system, nevesh kisi shava, which is a very general reference, not really specifying what type of shvuah. The buzzer continues with a prat, detailing, specifying exactly what counts. Lo hara lehitiv, promises to do good or to do bad. And then it says, l'chola she'ivate odom, which expands it a bit and basically allows you to include not just lahara lehitiv, that he promised to do good or to promise to do bad, even if it doesn't really pertain to good or bad necessarily, or neutral acts. It also counts. It's also included. If he violates that, he's also liable to a karma. But we limit it to the future, because lahara or lehitiv means he's going to do, he's not going to do. And it ends there. So it's limited to two cases, a yes or a no, let's call it a positive or a negative, regarding the future. But if it's a shvuah regarding a past event, I've had breakfast, I didn't have breakfast, that doesn't count. There's no cover for that. That would be with the klal prato klal system. But according to Rabbi Akiva, no, it's ribui umiyut v'ribui system, which ends up netting us so much more. It ends up including past events as well. Why? Let's start again. Ribui, ay nefesh kisa shava, any type of shvuah. Lahara lahitiv. Not everything. Perhaps only to the future. Lachayla shivate adam is another ribui. No, let's conclude everything. Not just future events, even past events. So what's the point of any miut then? What's the meat accomplishing? It accomplishes something, Rashi says. It leaves out one who is nishba levatal sa mitzvah. He swore to override a mitzvah. That doesn't count. So it would just be mamayit, excluding one solitary case. But otherwise, everything's in the bag. Hence, Rabbi Akiva holds, and Rabbi as well, as we're going to see, because of the ribui system, we include everything, even past events, for a total of four possible shvuah violations, which generate chiyuv karbon. Okay, so again, Rabbi Akiva, my time, why does Rabbi Akiva apply the chiyuv for back events as well? The Darush Ribui Muti, because he works with that system. Rabbi Naman, Rabbi as well, as we find elsewhere, Darush Ribui Muti adopts this system of drasha as well. So we end up with four possible cases. The Sanya. So before we continue, let's just summarize. Four possible shvuah violations, four possible Yedias HaTumah violations. That's Rebbe's personal opinion, because he personally adopted the shita of Rabbi Shmuel regarding Yedias HaTumah, that, right, based on the Pasuk Venelam, that there are four possible chiyuvim. Whether he forgot that he was Tami and proceeded with Kodesh and Migdash, or whether he knew that he was Tami and he forgot that this is Kodesh, this is Migdash. Rebbe's personal opinion is, based on the Pasuk Venel and Venel, that he's Chayv. Likewise, regarding four possible Shvuah violations, because of the Ribui Miut system, which Rebbe concurs with, there are four possibilities. Positive and negative future, positive and negative regarding past events. Rebbe Nami Darish Ribui Miut Desani. Where do we find that Rebbe follows the ribui system, the sanya, just for conciseness, we'll just call it the klal system or the ribui system. Okay, the sanya, we find a halacha regarding pidin haben, right? The firstborn son, five sela to the kohen. Must one use only actual money? The sanya, Rabbi Yomer b'koil poidin b'chor. Any item of value can be used to redeem the b'chor, b'chor adam, chutz min hashtar, except for a promissory note, an IOU that somebody has from his friend who borrowed money. He can't use that as pidyon by giving that to the kohen. It doesn't have intrinsic value, it's just a declaration of, you know, it's a raya, it's a proof that somebody owes you that money. It's not actual money or something that has intrinsic value. Rabbanan Amri, so according to Rebbe, we only exclude one item, shtaris. Everything else goes. Rabbanan Amri, no. Many more items are excluded. Bakol poidim b'chor adam, you can use anything, chutz me'avadim, v'shtoris, v'karkoris, slaves, loan documents, properties. What's the machlokes based on? Rebbe works with ribui system, he includes much more. Rabbanan work with klal system, and they exclude much more. My time at the Rebbe, darish ribui miyote. Pasa begins with p'tuyav ben chodesh. Redeem the baby. Riba. Sounds like he can use anything. Be'erkach ha-kesef chamesh eshkol. The pasuk continues, well, only something that's like money has intrinsic value. An item, a movable item, has intrinsic value. Mi'it. That limits it, that narrows it to a certain extent. Tifta. The pasuk comes back and says, no, tifta, which is, again, a ribui, an inclusive term, anything goes, chasav riba. So we have riba, u'mi'it v'riba, right? Inclusive, exclusive, inclusive, riba, everything goes in. My riba, riba, call me, so everything is included. But something has to be excluded due to the miyot, right? Uma miyot, so what are we excluding? Only one item, miyot, shtaris, which is the most farthest thing from value. Rabbanan darshi, they work with klali uprate, with the other system. So again, p'tuyim min chodesh is a klal, is a generalization. Be'erkach kesef chamesh eshkol is a prat, a limiting expression. The word tifte is chazav a klal, back to generalization. So we have a klal, a prat, a klal. That limits things very much, narrows things. Iyata don, okay, now prat. You can only allow something which is a perfect matchup to the item mentioned in the prat, which is, so what features does it need to have? What criteria must it match? Ma prat, just like the item mentioned in the prat, the money there. Mefurish davar hametatl, gufei mamin. It's clearly something which features the following elements. It's something movable, right? Coins are movable. Gufei mamin, they have intrinsic value. It could only include something which fits this bill. Af kol hametal, davar metal, gufi mamin, something that's movable and has intrinsic value, yotzer ha'kois, as opposed to property, they're not movable, she'enan metalin. Yotzer avadim, as opposed to slaves, shuk shel ha'kois, halachically they're regarded as property, as assets. Yotzer shtar, as opposed to documents, af vish metal, even though they're movables, and gufi mamin, they don't have intrinsic value. So clearly, according to Rabban, the net result is much smaller than according to Rebbe, who allows much more, based on the ribui system, as explained before. Amale Ravina Lamema. Really? Rebbe Dorish Ribui Miyutu? Is that true that Rebbe holds of the ribui system? Well, Rebbe Kloli Proti Dorish. We find elsewhere that Rebbe works with the klal system, the Sanya. We have the halacha regarding the Eved Nirtza, Jewish slave who wanted to stay on past his 6 years. We bore his ear with a tool. What kind of tool? A marzeya, the sanya marzeya. Marzeya is a metal tool. Only a marzeya, perhaps only a metal a drill works. Menayin l'rabis hasul. What about a toothpick, vasiro, a sharp thorn, vamachat, a pin, vamagdeach, a different type of tool, some type of screwdriver, some sort of drill, vamichtav, it's like an engraver. You can use all these things. Tamalayim avalukachto. Yeah, it all works. Kaldava shenilkach biyad, anything that you can, you know, grab hold of and use. Divrei, whose sheet is that? Reisa Rehuda? Because he works with the klal system. Rashi refers to that, you know, discussion in Gemara Kedusha. We're not going to get into it now, but it's based on the psukim. And again, we have two possible ways to learn the psukim: the klal system or the ribui system. According to Reisa Rehuda, we work with the klal system, which gives us a much smaller net. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we work with the ribui system, which ends up giving us so much more allowance. You can use any tool. Rebbe apparently limits it, narrows it, because he's going to work with the ribui system. With the klal system. So Rabbi Yehuda works with the ribui system, which gives us so much more possibilities. And Rebbe, you ever know, marzeya means you got to be in line with that marzeya, as per the item mentioned in the pasuk. Ma marzeya miyuchad shel mateches. What's unique about a marzeya? It's made of metal. Af kol shel mateches. You want to use another item? Gesunte, it has to be made of metal. So the net result, according to Rebbe, the options are much more limited. Why? Bamrina, we asked. But ma kamifli, what's the machlokes about? Answer is, Rebbe works with kol prat. Rebbe darsh kol prati. So it's more limiting. Rebbe said, "Read the darash ibui miyute." Therefore, it's more expansive. So clearly, Rebbe had the klal prat system, not ribui miyut system, as we had suggested. So the more you're right. Actually, you're right. Incorrect. Ba'al maklal prati darash. Rebbe works with the klal system typically. V'achan over here by the pidyon haben, where it seemed otherwise, it's an exceptional case. I know time, and the reason is because tanu rishmol. This is. Pertains to yet another discussion, the Gemara and Chulin, which we're not going to get into right now, but again, it's an idea of klal prat to klal, because it says b'mayim, b'mayim, shnei pa'amim, speaking about the water creatures over there, b'mayim, b'mayim. And then the pasuk speaks about specifics, so according to Tanya Rishmol, we can't consider it a standard, typical klal prat to klal, because the two general terms, b'mayim, b'mayim, are situated right next to each other, and then followed by the detail. So it's out of sequence, so to speak. Instead of general, specific, and general, it's general, general, and then specific. B'mayim, b'mayim, shnei pa'am, ein ze klal prat, you can't analyze it as a klal prat, ela ribui miyut. So for some reason in that type of case, when it's out of sequence, it shifts to the ribui miyut system. And that's exactly what happened by Pidyon HaBen. Because if you look at the psukim, it's Upduyev Ben Chodesh, which is a general lashon. Use anything for the pidyon. Followed immediately by the next lashon, which is Tifta. Upduyev Ben Chodesh, and it comes Tifta. So it's a klal followed by another klal, and then comes Be'erkach Kezel Chamesh Shkolim. So instead of klal prato klal, it's sequenced differently. Klal, klal, and prat. Hence, it gets shifted to a different track. It's activated as a ribui miyut system, right? According to Rebbe's opinion there, which gives us a net result of a greater net result of items, of materials, that can be used for Pidin HaBen. El Ribi Omiyat, Rabbana, but Rabbana and that Mishnah disagree. Amar Avina, Shravina explained, Kada Amri Marava, as they said in Eretz Yisrael in the west, west of Babel, even when it's out of sequence, it still counts as a Kol Prat. Hence, a much smaller net result. Even if you find two klolim next to each other, and the prat situated further away, hatal prat b'neim, we're allowed to relocate the specific term, the prat, and sandwich it between the two generalizations, and apply it v'dunam b'chol prat, and treat it like a regular klol prat. That's the Rabbanan Shita by the Pidin HaBen. Hence, their very limited net result, disallowing karka, shtaris, and avodah. So generally, Rebbe works with the klal system. By Pidin HaBen, it's an exceptional case because the pasuk is out of sequence, so he shifted to the Rebbe system. The question is now, Hashta the Amos Rebbe klali prati darsh. Rebbe adopts the klal system. So back to an issue, because how do we get the number four by Shvuos? Two going forward, two going back. That was based on the Rebbe Meir system, which is a Rekiva system. But if Rebbe, we thought he was going with that system, but it turns out he's not. How does he end up with four cases of Shvuos liabilities? Hashta the Amos Rebbe klali prati darsh. Now we have a kasha. How do you get to four cases of shvuos? So we must say, Ella, v'shvuos nasav aliv derekiva v'leilat sfirla. You're right. The number four that Rebbe cited in our mission regarding shvuos, it's not his own personal. It doesn't reflect his own personal opinion. It's a rekiva shita which is being quoted in the Mishnah, which is being recorded in the Mishnah, but it wasn't his personal opinion. Perhaps it was the consensus in the yeshiva, so he went with that, but it wasn't his personal opinion. According to Rebbe's personal opinion, he wouldn't have four cases. Because if he doesn't work with the Rebbe system, rather, it's the klal system, it's more limiting. The net result is only two cases. Lahara al-Hatif. A positive and negative reference regarding the future, but not regarding the past. There's no chiyuv shvuah regarding violating a shvuah's bita l'sha'avar. So, just in a quick nutshell, Yud Gimel Midos, Shatara Nidveshes, lists something called Klal Prat HaKlal, according to some Tanoim. Indeed, it was a Klal Prat HaKlal system. According to others, it wasn't really. It was really Ribui Miut Ribui system, which actually ends up giving you a much greater net result. It allows you to include much more, as long as you leave something out, but it's a much broader, inclusive formula. Initially, we thought that Rebbe was one or held of the Ribui system. Turns out he doesn't. As was proven from the halach of the Eved Nirtza with the drill. Well, Pidyon Bechor was an exceptional case because things were out of sequence, but if he holds of the Klal Uprat system, why are there four cases of Shvuah liabilities, which is only consistent with the Ribui system, which includes even past, but according to Rebbe, it doesn't. The answer is like this. Regarding the four cases of Yedias Atuma, in fact, Rebbe holds of all four cases, based on the Pasuk of Anelam. Four possible scenarios of forgetfulness. He forgot that he was Tami, he ate Kodesh, went to the Migdash, he knew that he was Tami, but he forgot that this is a Kodesh, this is a Migdash. Four possible cases, that works with the Mishnah. That's Rebbe's personal opinion. Regarding four cases of Shvuah, it wasn't his personal opinion, it was just reflective of Akiva Shita, that in fact, because of the Ribui Miut system, it gives us a net total of four cases of Shvuah liabilities. And again, just to emphasize, the Mishnah, according to this final approach, the Mishnah is speaking about shogeg items which entail inadvertent activity and trigger a karban. Four cases of karban by Shvuah, four cases of karban by Yedias HaTumah. Likewise, by Negoim during the Tahara process of the Masera and the Malacha B'Shoigeg on Shabbos as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.